Hello and welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined here in the studio by Shaka Hislop as we kick things off in the Premier League today. The big game, well, it was supposed to be the big game, wasn't it? Stamford Bridge, Chelsea against Spurs. In the end, nothing really happened over the 90 minutes as it finished 0-0. To reflect on this, let's welcome Jurgen Klinsmann into the show. A vintage Jose Mourinho performance, Jurgen, is that fair?
That might be fair, but it's all right. You know, you get a point with one of your main rivals, so you keep them behind you, you take the positives away from a game like that. They are still in first place now with Liverpool, so it looks at least, you know, in the table, it looks very, very positive. You know, one little positive note maybe on American side is that Christian Pulisic came in at the end of the game, played about 15-16 minutes. That's fun for us to see, No, I mean, Spurs is up there with the other big ones, and that's where you belong. That's where you wanna be.
Frank Leboeuf joins us now. Frank, you were sending me some WhatsApp messages during this game, which contained some rude language. So let's try and remember this is a family show. How would you sum up this game?
Well, I thought about the whole evening, what I could say to you, and it wasn't a good game. Definitely not a good game. Wherever you choose to support, from Spurs' side, you know, of course you get a point, and as Jürgen said, you know, it's fine to not lose away from home against your main rival, and you can go on like that. I just wonder, you know, if I'm Kane or Son, you know, when I come back home, you know, what I say to my wife, if I had a good game or if I enjoyed the game and we got the 1 point. But if it was a game that, as a striker, I enjoyed to play. It really doesn't matter if they win the championship, but if they don't at the end of the season, what would be the opinion of Kane and Son? On Chelsea's side, I don't know, they were slow. I think they started well, and after 15 minutes they got I think they got scared by Ndombele action, and they were afraid to be punished like Manchester City has been not a long time ago. So I think they dropped a little bit, and they decided to keep the ball but to slow down the rhythm and not to get crazy to be punished in counter-attack. And it's why we had that kind of game with poorly shots, no pace, no rhythm in the game. And, the draw is maybe good for Boston at the end of the day, not for the viewers, for sure.
Yeah, Don Hutchinson with us, speaking of someone that's a hard watch. Don, what did you make of the 90 minutes that we saw unfold?
It was a hard watch. I wasn't surprised at Jose's tactics. He would have took a draw all day long. If you think of the fixtures that they've had over the last couple of weeks and Arsenal to come next week, 4 points from six is not a bad return, considering they played Chelsea and Man City. So, listen, that's going to be Jose's tactics. Tottenham fans are not going to enjoy the style of football. They're really, really not. They might be bored at times, but it's the end product. It's the end game. Where can Jose take this Tottenham side? And the way he's doing it, and the way he's eking out results, getting wins and getting board draws, he's going to take them close.
It seems to be consistent this season, more than most, Shaka, that these big games have kind of disappointed. Is it about teams just not losing?
Yeah, well, especially today. Listen, I'll be honest. I wasn't as critical of Jose Mourinho and Spurs last week against Manchester City. I thought they had a game plan. They knew where the spaces were going to present themselves, and they took full advantage of that. I knew that they were going to find space a little bit more difficult to find, just because Chelsea played a back four as opposed to a back three as City did. And then away from home, and this is Jose Mourinho. Sit tight, don't give up much, hope to get something thanks to a mistake up the other end. And they almost did in injury time. And all of a sudden, we're having a different discussion. Spurs fans will point to the fact that you go away to the team sitting third in the table and take a point. And that's what good teams do. I just felt throughout, there was only ever one team really looking to find a way to win. And that was Chelsea. That being said, and Frank touched on it, I thought where Chelsea regressed in the second half is They realized what Spurs were doing, and they started to sit a whole lot deeper themselves. So even when the ball turned it over and they tried to counterattack or build anything, it just ended up being crowded in the Spurs box as well. So they couldn't find chances simply by the fact that their starting position was so much deeper. So in the end, you got this rather boring two boxes packed with 21 players and not a lot to phone home about.
Jürgen, looking at Spurs' big picture, do you think that Jose Mourinho has got his players believing that they are title contenders, that they can go all the way and win this?
Well, you look at the table, I mean, then you start believing it. Definitely. You want to be up there, and as long as you be within the top three, top four, you have that belief. You can make it happen, you know. But to Frank's point, I can tell you, if I got home after not scoring in a game, I didn't talk to my wife very much. She can tell you. So for Son and for Harry Kane, I feel for them, because you know, as a striker, you badly want to score. And if it didn't happen, then you know, leave me alone for a couple of hours, please. It's understandable. But I think it's gonna be a marathon, as I mentioned a few times. It's gonna be a long season, and it's definitely Jose's style is different to what we want to see maybe at White Hart Lane, you know, to what we were used to maybe. But if it's at the end of the day successful, then I think, you know, a lot of people will forgive him for maybe some boring results or more defensive performances. And so as long as we stay up there, you know, there's positivity there for sure, because, you know, they haven't won a title for so long.
Quite the opposite at St Mary's. Don, you were at this game. Brilliant match. Manchester United coming from behind to beat Southampton by 3-2. That second half substitution of Edinson Cavani making all the difference.
Oh, it was a brilliant game, Dan. It really was. Southampton come out the blocks well. Actually, United started really well as well. Mason Greenwood went round the goalkeeper, had a 1v1, put it into the side net. And so at 2-0 down at half time, it didn't feel like a 2-0 game. You always thought that Man United were going to create chances. And at half-time, Ollie was brave. He brought Cavani on. Took him a little bit of time to get going. But once he got on the pitch, he looked really sharp. His runs were excellent. Bruno Fernandes got his goal. It was actually really quiet today. And they played a diamond, which I think suits them. But Cavani's movement was sensational. He was always on the move. People might think this is luck and got a lucky break. But striker's nowhere to be. You know, he's been there a million times, Cavani. Centre half, Vestergaard plays him onside, and he just, I think strikers and Jürgen will say that they've got a sixth sense on where the ball's going to be played in. That one there, he's run, he darted across two or three defenders. And for a man that's not really match fit just yet, he was super sharp. He was the difference. Ward-Prowse was the difference in the first half. But my word, Cavani in the second half, he was magical.
He was sensational. Let's not forget that PSG let him go. He didn't feature in the Champions League once play returned earlier on this year. And Frank, if I'm a PSG fan, I'm looking at that and thinking, boy, we could really use him up front.
Well, I always said it was a big mistake from Paris Saint-Germain to let Cavani go, because I'm sure that it would have been useful. And he showed it today. And it's like it's written, you know. And I'm looking forward to seeing the game on Tuesday, to see if Ole Gunnar Solskjaer will put Cavani on instead of Martial, or if it will come on, you know, maybe half time, because you know it can be a big revenge for Cavani if he scores and puts Paris Saint-Germain out of the qualification group, and that's going to be something very bad for Paris Saint-Germain if something like that happened. But Cavani is a fantastic player. He always been. He always works hard, and we could see this afternoon how he can be helpful. And it's a big, big problem that Paris Saint-Germain didn't keep him.
So how do you use him going forward, Jürgen? Do you bring him off the bench as an impact player, as we saw today, or is he going to start now?
Well, it depends how you put the puzzle together. And Ole Gunnar, he knows exactly how he wants to put his puzzle together. But it's something very special for a coach to know that you have somebody coming off the bench with so much value, with so much drive. And even if you decide to start him, so So that's a good move as well. I mean, Cavani is this type of a striker that has an enormous inner drive. And he measures himself by one simple thing, to score goals. And that's what number nines are all about. You know, they are happy when they score goals, and they're unhappy if they don't get to play or if they don't score goals. So this is great to see, and it's a big plus for Man United at the moment.
Dom, we've spent a lot of time, haven't we, over the last few months discussing the future of Solskjaer and whether or not he is the right man for the job. Could Cavani be a key part in his success at Old Trafford?
Yeah, I think so. And Donny van der Beek had a good game today. I think it was interesting in the shape that he played. He played a diamond today, where he's only done that once this season, and that was against Arsenal. And they lost that game. So he was brave, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, getting the diamond together, because when you were looking at the pieces that were playing and the formation that he played, it was trying to get all his attacking players on the pitch. I mean, at the end of the game, I mean, I know it was 2-2 at the time, but there were so many attacking players. You know, Rashford was on, Cavani was on, Donny van der Beek was on, Bruno Fernandes was on. So defensively, they looked a little bit shaky at times because there were so many offensive players on the show. But I think when you're looking at Cavani, you've got a born goal scorer. You know he's going to get goals. He's well experienced. And Martial, before the game, got left behind in the hotel because he was ill. So he couldn't afford to then take him. So I would imagine he might be missing midweek. So that gives Cavani the perfect chance to play against PSG.
Meanwhile, Don, in the late game, Wolves beating Arsenal by 2-1. Of course, a scary incident. Raul Jimenez taken to hospital. Reports are that he will be okay after that clash of heads with David Luiz. Meanwhile, for Arsenal, a terrible performance. And you've been a staunch supporter of Mikel Arteta. But boy, he's got a lot of work to do to save this season.
He has. I've been trying to back him for a long time because he's only been in the job 5 minutes and he's won a couple of trophies if you count in the Community Shield. And I see an Arsenal side, when Arteta's took over, that doesn't carry passengers anymore. They really don't. They try to play aggressive football. All right, they're a little bit defensive because they're trying to evolve. And maybe he needs one or two windows. I think Arteta can ship a lot of players out. I think they've got close to 40 professionals there. Aubameyang and Mesut Ozil's picking up £600,000 a week between them. But on the pitch, when you've got a midfield of Dani Ceballos and Granit Xhaka, they're not tracking runners as they should. You know, you're always taught to track runners. And Wolves are brilliant. They had so many players like Neto getting forward and so much pace at the top end of the pitch. You know, this is the second game on the road they've played a back four, which is new to these players. They've forever been playing a back five. So this is completely new for the Wolves players. And you can see, actually, they're starting to evolve. I thought they were a little bit slow at the opening part of the season, but they're getting better. They're finding their stride, and they were well worth their 3 points today.
What was wrong with Arsenal, Frank? Why are they so bad?
Many years of bad investments, bad recruitments, and that's what you get, you know, a player that you shouldn't have gotten. And maybe Mesut Ozil is the best example, you know, where you spend lots of money, you know, paying him every month for almost nothing now. And with the talent he has, there's no doubt he has talents, but the commitment is not there. And many players are like that. And Arsenal is not the club that used to be. Many clubs are like that, and they need some years to rebound and change their politics to maybe go back to what they've been good at, recruiting good players, good young players who don't cost a lot but who can serve the club well. But it takes long to be back on track, and we wish them the best because we need Arsenal at the top, but they're not definitely at the top anymore.
Frank Leboeuf and Don Hutchison, thank you very much. The Premier League then sees Chelsea in third, Spurs top of the table, level on points then with Liverpool after their draw against Brighton yesterday. Manchester United with that victory up to eighth. Arsenal, I don't even know where they are in the table. They're definitely not in the top 10.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Well, let's head to La Liga. Barcelona with one of their best performances of the season so far, a 4-0 victory over Osasuna at the Camp Nou. Gab, I want to start though with the fourth goal, which is, I'm sure, the celebration that many have already seen. Lionel Messi with the most poignant tribute to Diego Maradona.
Yeah, poignant tribute after a tremendous goal. I think he's never hidden the fact that growing up in Rosario, he was a fan of Newell's Old Boys. And of course, that is how he chose to celebrate afterwards, wearing that shirt that you see that he had on under his kit is the Newell's Old Boys shirt. And of course, there's that wonderful story behind it, which may or may not be apocryphal, but I choose to believe it's true, that when Diego Maradona, who of course played for Newell's late in his career, before spending his final stint at Boca, the day that he made his debut at halftime, they brought on a six-year-old kid to go and entertain the crowd, to do some juggling, and that six-year-old kid was Lionel Messi. And what a fitting way, I think, to close the circle there.
A brilliant goal, Shaq, and a great celebration.
It really was. Listen, there's a lot you could take from this game as a Barcelona fan, the four goals, the performance of Antoine Griezmann, but it's all about Lionel Messi and in particular the celebration. Given the week that we've had, given the week that Argentinian football has had, how better to put the icing on the cake, so to speak, with Lionel Messi, arguably the greatest player of this current generation, doing things that maybe only he can in a way that Diego Maradona did in his era. And then the celebration. And you're right, for all the emotions that were stoked this week, given the passing of Diego Maradona, you just realise that the game is in good hands with who we have currently playing today. And Lionel Messi did exactly that.
So Barcelona moving up the table. Meanwhile, Real Sociedad missed the opportunity to extend their lead at the top as they drop points against Villarreal, only managing a draw in that game, meaning that they are one clear. But Atletico Madrid with two games in hand. Atleti are going to win the league, aren't they, Gab?
Look, they're certainly playing different, and they're playing better, and they're committing people forward, and they're very comfortable in possession. And when they do have to sit and defend, they do it keeping the ball, and they're comfortable doing it. I mean, I think what we've seen this year, we've talked about it, the arrival of Luis Suarez has basically forced them to play less on the counter and more with players around him. And they're continuing to do that even when he's not there. João Félix is living up to his the huge hype and to his price tag. Correa, who I think for years has been one of the most underrated players around, he's doing it as well. He's contributing. Coque is coming back, having his strongest season in years. There is a lot of talent on this team. And at the back, you still have Jimenez and the magnificent Jan Oblak. So all the pieces, I think, are in place. And unlike perhaps the last couple of years, they can beat you both ways. They can grind it out, and they can simply overwhelm you as well.
Just taking you through the results in Italy this weekend. Inter with a 3-0 win away against Sassuolo. Meanwhile, Juventus dropping points against Benevento. Atalanta lost 2-0 at home against Hellas Verona. And then on Sunday, Lazio, surprise defeat for them at home against Udinese. Napoli thrashed Roma. Quite the statement from Gattuso's side by 4-0. Meanwhile, AC Milan remain top of the table with a 2-0 victory over Fiorentina. Gab, this was very impressive from Milan.
It was hugely impressive, and you know, again, people will focus on the fact, look, they did it without Zlatan, but you know, for me, I was more interested in see how they would cope without Bennacer, and we got the answer, because Tonali stepped in, and they didn't miss a beat. They continued to create chances, and all that changed was that there was somebody else finishing him off. You know, Hakan Çalhanoğlu stepped up, Alessio Romagnoli stepped up. You know, those guys who are maybe that little bit older, that have that personality to be leaders, those guys stepped into the breach. And as I said, Dan, this team is not Zlatan dependent. This version of Zlatan that we have now, that we've had since the start of the new year, is Zlatan the center forward. He's not Zlatan the guy who tries to do everything, and Milan are better off for it, and better off even when he's not there.
You're the one who keeps bringing him up, Gab. Meanwhile, Jurgen, for Inter Milan, your former side, a big win for them against Sassuolo, considering what happened against Real Madrid midweek.
Absolutely. No, it was a real, really important win for Inter because of that result with Real Madrid in the Champions League. And in the Champions League, it's not looking so good right now. But with that win, at least, you know, they are in reach of AC Milan. They're up there with the other ones, and it's going to be a long season still, but these 3 points, they were very crucial.
And much needed for Antonio Conte, who still after this game was complaining, Gab.
Yeah, he wheeled out the usual line about there's too much negativity around this team, and people are using this to sell papers and media companies and blah, blah, blah. You know what? Media companies generally make money, and newspapers generally send more when the team is doing well, not when they're doing badly. So, you know, that's a simple reality. But hey, if you want to tell yourself these fairy tales, because it helps you build that siege mentality, and it's going to make Inter better, by all means, be my guest. If it makes Inter better, then great. But the reason there's negativity is because you have 2 points from four Champions League games, because you've won two of your last 10 games, including the Sassuolo game where you were gifted two goals inside of 50 minutes, and you're playing worse football than you played towards the end of last season. That's why the negativity is there.
For Juve, Gab, they could obviously only manage that 1-1 draw against Benevento. If I was to bring up the fact that this shows how dependent they are on Cristiano Ronaldo, will you start shouting at me as well?
I won't start shouting at you, but I think the issue runs deeper than Cristiano. You know, whether Cristiano's there or not, you expect to see more. Pirlo, for the first time, I think, called out some of his players. You know, for the way they gave, all right, it was a great goal, but, you know, just before halftime, you know, how about you go and you play a little bit more conservative rather than giving the ball away in that area of the pitch. Paulo Dybala is not performing right now. I think Pirlo's doing the right thing and trying to let him play his way out of it. But, you know, while he's trying to play his way out of it, he's contributing very, very little. And you still have the same issue in the center of midfield. Whoever plays in that position, whether it's Bentancur, whether it's McKennie, whether it's Rabiot, whether it's Artur, they don't have the creative playmaking that I think Pirlo's style demands. Beyond that, they have one fit and available center back right now, which certainly doesn't help either.
Jurgen, when we've seen Juve win all those titles in the past, you feel that these are the sort of games that somehow, by hook or by crook, they get all 3 points. Is this telling that maybe they won't be as dominant as some were expecting this season, and maybe we could see a real title race?
Well, I simply think that Juventus this season is in a year of transition. And that's automatically when a new coach comes in, and with Andrea Pirlo, that's his first season. There are changes. There are different ways of doing things. So it will take some time for the players to adapt his approach, his philosophy, his way of doing things. And that's why maybe it takes a little bit longer. I think they will step by step climb up in the table. They will be serious about winning it again. But I think this year, definitely, we have a more open race than we ever had before.
If Juventus don't win it, Gab, who will?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot again. I'll probably give you a different answer next week. But this week, I will say Milan, I think, are very, very well placed to do it. But as Jurgen said, I'll probably mention half a dozen other teams when you ask me in future weeks.
So Milan 5 points clear of Inter in second, level on points now with Sassuolo after their win, Juventus in fourth as they could only manage that draw. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. The big story of the weekend, Borussia Dortmund losing at home against Köln. Their first victory of the season. Dortmund then dropped to fourth by Leverkusen, up to third by Munich with the win away against Stuttgart, going 2 points clear at the top of the table. Jürgen, you watched that Borussia Dortmund game and it was similar to what we saw the week before in that they didn't do anything in the first half but then sorted it out in the second half. This time, though, they couldn't find their feet after the break. They had chances, but in the end, they just weren't good enough.
Yeah, and that makes you wonder how, you know, how hungry are they really for winning the Bundesliga title? Because in a game like that, you know, you're just supposed to get the 3 points. I mean, I'm very, very happy for Cologne. After 18 winless games, you know, they got their first win. Their coach, Markus Gisdol, is a tremendous good guy, good coach. He suffered a lot the last couple of months. So it's a big, big win for the Cologne. But to let these 3 points slip away for Borussia Dortmund is unacceptable, actually. They cannot just always leave it up for the last couple of minutes to turn things around. They got punished. And now it looks like, you know, Bayern Munich is taking off again.
From a coach's perspective, there can't be many things more frustrating than to see your team concede two goals from a set piece that are pretty much carbon copies of each other, Jürgen.
Yeah, correct. And that drives you nuts as a coach. You know, when you talk about set pieces, especially before the game at halftime, you talk about it, you know, when the guys get subbed in, you know, what role they play, you know, who has who. Is it man marking? Is it zonal marking? You know, is it a mix of it? But when you concede then goals like that, that makes you really angry as a coach. And now, I mean, for Borussia Dortmund, this is a big loss because you're just losing the points now in a very crucial part of the season where you cannot afford it that your biggest rival Bayern Munich is just kind of making a big gap already so early in the season.
That's the big problem, isn't it? Because you saw Bayern Munich drop points last week, they get the win, and if you're Borussia Dortmund, you have to keep pushing week in, week out, and that consistency and that focus seems to be something, Jürgen, that they continue to lack.
Yeah, and that's always the question then with Borussia Dortmund. So who's the leader now of that game? Mm. You know, who's the leader of that group? And in games like that, they're all hard-working games, you know, there's no team that gives you just the 3 points for free. So it's a lot of work and it's a lot of fight also involved, and that's where you always look around, you know, on the field. So who takes matters in his own hands? You know, that's where, you know, a Witzel, maybe a Hummels, you know, some key players, you know, have to really pick it up and carry the team. You cannot afford it to leave those things on the shoulders of a Haaland, you know, who's 20 years old, or Giovanni Reina, who's 18 years old. So these are the old guys that need to kind of make sure that you get the 3 points no matter how. And they failed in doing that this weekend. And those are the points that at the end of the day you're going to miss in order to win a championship.
Jürgen Klinsmann, as always, thank you very much. Just a reminder, be sure to join us on the next edition of ESPN AFC, Leipzig and US International. Tyler Adams will be joining us to talk about the season so far.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
That's it, and then that brings us to the end of today's show.
I've got something. Hold on.
What have you got for me, Shay?
Hold on, Dan.
Shay hasn't moved that quickly for a long time. There's lots of wires along here as well. If you would have taken a tumble then, Shay, you're going to be in trouble. That's it.
Happy birthday to... Hold on, where are we?
Look at that. Oh, it's me.
It's you, Daniel. Hanging on the net rather oddly, I have to say.
Picture. Look at that.
Happy 40th birthday, Dan.
Wonderful, Shank. I used to look good, didn't I, back in the day?
Oh, well, whenever there's a net around,
so shy and retiring, I just hang on to nets. Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, look, we've got more, I think.
Have you got more?
We've got some more.
What more cake? Oh, my God.
We've got so much more.
Oh, look at those teeth, Jack. That's Postman Pat. That's me on Friday.
Man.
I had a mullet as well then. That's me going to the prom.
Look at you going to prom.
Beautiful me and my dad there. Oh, yes, and my Southampton shirt.
Oh, goodness me.
My modelling days at the Bernabeu. Oh, beautiful.
Happy birthday, Dan.
Thank you very much, Shaka.
Oh.
Not that you really did much.
Yeah, no, I baked that cake.
Yeah, you baked it?
Yep, I baked it.
Oh, fantastic. Well, thank you very much. Thank you to everyone who's been on today. Be sure, though, to stay tuned, because Extra Time is next. Shaka and Gab will be answering your tweets. I'm going to be eating some cake, I reckon.
What about me? Some cake.
Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. It's a special Extra Time today because I am.
It's your
cake.
Birthday.
You might not be able to see it. This is a massive cake, by the way. Sebi's not going to be happy.
No, he's not. No, Sebi.
Look at that.
Cake envy right now.
So that's me at the Bernabeu back in the day.
Yeah, what you doing there, Dan?
I am looking pretty good, I would say, Shank.
Is that what you'd say?
I definitely would say that.
Okay.
Posing on the... That was a photo shoot for something.
Okay.
Oh.
All right.
I came in here. Less grey hairs. Less stress, less wrinkles.
You do work with Craig regularly, yeah? Should we excuse that?
That was before I got married as well.
Entirely.
Gab Marcotti is with us as well. Gab, should Cavani start ahead of Martial for Manchester United?
I will answer that in a second, but did I hear Shaka say during the call that he didn't know where, during the show, that he didn't know where Canvey Island was?
Yeah.
Where is Canvey Island, Gab?
Shaka, you live, if memory serves, and I'm shocked because Shaka, you played for West Ham, which means that you obviously lived in Essex. Mm-hmm. It's just off the coast, kind of that way towards South End.
I know where Canvey Island was, Dan. I was asking, Gab, I just didn't know if Dan knew.
Ah, yeah.
I knew.
Oh, okay, all right.
Gab, where is Marine? I've never heard of Marine.
I don't know. It's by the coast somewhere, I imagine. Anyway, should Cavani start in place of...
Right, back to...
Should Cavani start in place of Martial? Yes?
Yes.
I don't think you can get Cavani week in, week out. And so...
Why not?
Martial will be... Well, because the man's 33 years old and he's coming off of a long layoff and you're playing a ton of games. So I think when you play with Cavani, you're going to play very differently than you play with Martial. You have to have a plan A. It would be, unless you commit to Greenwood and Cavani, I think Greenwood is more of a natural center forward than Martial is, then maybe you could think about that. Maybe that would be something interesting to do, but I don't think they're fully sold on Greenwood for that position either. So I think the rest of the season, what you're going to see is you're going to see them alternate in that position. Martial is a much better counterattacker. He's a natural counterattacker. He's obviously more durable than Cavani. But in certain games, you're happy to have Cavani off the bench, no question about it.
Gab, how come when the big teams clash in the Premier League like Chelsea against Spurs today, the games are duds, but other leagues offer an entertaining fixture amongst top teams? Nice.
Now, I was wondering if that was a generalization, and because it is a crazy season, I have a very short-term memory. I was thinking of like the last time big team clashed, and I thought of that awful game between Liverpool and Man City in that second half. I don't know. I just think it's down to the luck of the draw, whether you get an early goal or an early incident that opens up a game. There's no question that teams are very, very tired this season. And when you've got fatigued teams, if they make mistakes, then it opens the game up. If you have fatigued teams who don't make mistakes and they simply hold their positions tactically, then yeah, you can get a dull game. But I don't think it's down to one league or another league.
Shaq, you've provided no cutlery for this.
I'm a baker, Dan.
I'm just saying.
All I do is bake.
It looks gorgeous. Like, some of this bit is nice, but I'd like it.
You want me to take back my cake? Is that what you want?
I want a bowl, I want a spoon, I want to be able to enjoy it, or a fork.
Certainly, man.
You should have thought ahead. Gab, oh God, what are these questions for Gab? Gab, can Milan go all the way this season and even win the Europa League?
Whoa, easy there. Even win the Europa League. I think it's very, very tough to do both, obviously. And I think it's even tougher with Zlatan around because obviously, you know, asking him to play 50 games a season or whatever it would take is probably unrealistic. But what I do know is that if they're in a solid position come January, you know, they're not afraid of strengthening the team. And what I like about this team too is I think there's a lot more depth there than people realize. So there's already suggestion that they want to keep Brahim Diaz around. He's certainly been a hit. He's somebody that they like a lot. So sure, why not? I mean, in theory, they can do both. I don't think they will do both. And in fact, in the Europa League, they've had ups and downs, as you know.
I've just read this next question. Why did you put this question in on my birthday?
Well, go on, read it, Dan.
Gab, with the lack of return from big signings like Hazard and Griezmann, coupled with the pandemic, will there be a market correction for the price of top players? And did we see an example with Manchester United not paying €120 million for Sancho? Oh, here we go.
Well, it all goes here back to go. Sancho to United, doesn't it? You know, it's funny because...
No, it's not funny.
As I'm sure you you've both read my very long sit-down with one, Ivan Gazidis. And he talks about that, how a lot of clubs this past summer, they acted as if, you know, there was no COVID crisis. And they kind of went, nah. And they signed certain players to huge long-term contracts and threw money around. Others did not, obviously. But one of the effects is that I don't think there has been the trickle-down. So he may well be right. And I think what you're seeing is that, you know, the weight of a big, big contract, especially to a player in his late 20s or 30s, makes it very, very difficult for these guys to move. So does this mean, because this is what the guy really wants to know, that United are going to sign Sancho for less than $120 million? United, I think, are their own little thing when it comes to economics in football. If Sancho wants to leave, I think he can force a move, and I think if he can force a move at a fee that United are comfortable with, it's just a supposition. Of course, if they get the Sancho that we saw against Cologne at the weekend, then United may not want him.
Do you agree, Shaq, with everything that Gab said?
Everything I concur.
Can you repeat any of it back?
If they get the Sancho that we saw against Cologne, yes. United may not want him.
Gab, some have been asking for FIFA to retire the number 10 in honour of Maradona. Do you agree?
Are all these questions really for me? There's not one question for Shaka.
I've been baking. I've been baking cake.
Exactly. No, I don't agree. Because look, for me, Maradona is synonymous with a number 10 shirt, sure. But other players are also synonymous with a number 10 shirt. Pelé wore number 10 for most of his career. And there have been many other great number 10s in history. It is the shirt. Back in the day, youngins, when teams, well, in the beginning, they didn't even have shirt numbers. But after that, when it was 1 to 11, number 10 belonged to the superstars. And, you know, saying, oh, Maradona wore number 10, nobody else can ever wear this shirt again, I think would be inappropriate towards all the other great number 10s in the game, including some number 10s we're playing today, like one Lionel Messi. That said, I think it'd be kind of cool if Maradona's old team, starting with Napoli, and they've already done this, of course, say, all right, nobody else, if you retire the number at a club where you've been a meaningful player, that would be kind of cool. Again, it would be problematic to do at Barcelona, because, of course, Messi's also wore the number 10, as of others. But that kind of thing I'm in favor of. But saying nobody in world football could ever wear number 10 again because Diego Maradona wore number 10. I know it's your pal, Andrea Villas-Boas, who came up with the idea. But frankly, it's a bit silly.
Oh, yeah, me and Andrea's going along. Shaggy, you just stuck your big finger in my cake.
I just wanted to make sure I was up to my usual standard.
It's good, isn't it?
It is good.
It is good. It's just filthy, full of sugar. You can taste it. Gab, how many teammates have Matt...
Are you guys just throwing all the questions at me because you guys want to eat while I talk? That's it, right?
Talk to Gab.
Gab, tell us
financial fair play again, will you?
Gab, how many teammates of Maradona's title-winning Napoli team would make or be close to Serie A all-time 11s? Similarly, how many members of the 86 World Cup winning teams make Argentina's all-time 11?
Should I run 5, 9, 4?
Goodness me. All right, so from 86, I mean, again, all-time 11, possibly nobody. I mean, Jorge Valdano might be close, maybe Buruchaga. If you're talking all time, I mean, you're setting the bar really, 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 really high. Daniel Passarella would have been there, of course, but he got injured before the tournament. Otherwise, I think he'd be dead shooting. In fact, he would have captained the side in 86. With that Napoli team, I think, you know, again, Careca, phenomenal player. Ciro Ferrara, phenomenal defender. But if you're talking all-time 11 in Serie A, you know, you're talking Marco van Basten and Batistuta and people like that. So, no, if you set the bar that high, probably nobody. But, I mean, look, I'll go the other way. This applies to any great team. I mean, how many Liverpool players would be in the all-time 11 of the English top flight? Probably not many.
Gab, you're on the clock. 30 seconds. What has happened to Atalanta in Serie A this season?
All right, so they, I think they're a little bit tired, a little bit opponents have figured them out. They decided the way they dealt with it, I thought, was intelligent this season. They've added a bunch of players to become deeper with the idea that they could rotate more, but I think Gasperini's system is such that it requires a lot of chemistry, and so it's difficult to rotate these guys in, and there's a drop-off when they do rotate in, and I think they've also been unlucky. And just in general, with Atalanta, it's a little bit feast, a little bit famine. But they did win in Anfield.
They did? Shaka, what are you doing?
I caught it.
Question for Shaga.
What?
Were you ever beaten from the halfway line?
No.
If not, what was the furthest you've been beaten from?
Oh, furthest I've been beaten from?
Good question.
No, I'm not sure. I remember playing at Highbury. Mm. Highbury had a slight slope to it. Alex Manninger was in goal for them. It was raining. I remember he hit one out of his hands from his box. Skipped off, had me scrambling.
Really?
Had me absolutely scrambling. I thought he'd done me. Just went over the crossbar, but from then on in, every time he got the ball in his hands, mind you, this is the Arsenal goalkeeper, the entire crowd at Highbury started shouting, "Shoo!"
There's glitter all over this cake.
I know there is.
Is that all over you?
Is it?
This is your challenge. Shaka, what were you doing at work today? Gab,
I will be the next.
After Stevie telling the story about the spaghetti bolognese, this is where you refuse to eat spaghetti bolognese unless it is al dente, I believe, at his house. How is pasta cooked properly? Oh, my God.
Okay, look. If I go to somebody's house, I'm polite, okay? I don't just go and refuse to do things.
You did refuse. You said, is it al dente? And he said no, and you went, well, I don't want it, and threw it on the floor.
Yeah, you're right. That's exactly what happened. No, that's not what happened at all. He asked me, when I went to his house, he asked me if I wanted spag bol or if I wanted Eleanor to go and cook us some mince and some shepherd's pie. And so I figured, all right, if I go with a shepherd's pie, it's essentially the same thing. It's still mince over overcooked pasta, or it's mince with mashed potatoes. So I went, you know, it was mince or mince. So I went for that option. And I tell you, the shepherd's pie was very good. And Stevie and his wife were lovely company.
See, you just like stealing stuff.
No. I just made up the story.
I made up the story.
You know what? I've been invited to his house many more times than I've been invited to your house, Dan.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Or your house,
that's
shocker.
True, yeah.
Yeah, well, I live a long way away, Gab. That's... But, to my point, the story that Gab told is totally different from the story you implied with that...
Gab asked Steve if the pasta was al dente before he answered.
Gab didn't mention that in his
story. Well, exactly. He's covering himself up.
And given a choice between you, Dan, and Gabriele Marcotti, I'm going to believe Gab.
I would just make that up.
Yeah, you would.
Since we saw Mike Tyson and Roy Jones make comebacks and fight last night, is there any way we can see a Shaka going against Stevie, Craig, Frank, or any other ex-players on the ESPN crew in a penalty shootout?
Never mind Mike Tyson and Roy Jones. Who are the two that fought before? The basketballer and the YouTube
Shaka
guy.
Shaka, we look so...
That's the fight that's getting all the headlines.
Yeah, so it was
because
Robinson.
Of the knockout. And yeah, what's the YouTube star's name?
Nate Robinson got knocked out.
Yeah.
And it was the blonde kid.
Yeah, I can't remember his name. That's the story that's grabbing all the
Logan
headlines.
Logan Paul.
There you go.
Yeah, look.
So between
Jake
them,
Paul.
Between them two and Snoop Dogg's commentary.
Yes.
That's the story.
Ah.
Never mind.
Right, now back to the question about penalty shootouts.
What was the question?
Would you fancy it?
Fancy what?
Going up against the boys.
I don't mind.
Do you think you could save any?
I think I'd save most.
I don't think you would.
I think I will.
Most?
Yeah. I think Ali has a chance of scoring.
Right.
But I can't see Craig or Steve scoring.
Why not?
Nope. No. They won't score.
You know what we're doing, Jack. You know what this is leading to.
Yeah.
What was it, $50, the pay-per-view? Good chance, $50.
I mean,
a fortune.
Absolutely.
Get a bigger cake next time. That's it. We will be back tomorrow for more. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. We're going to find some cutlery now to eat this cake. Fantastic.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate is to not search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/FC. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.